his take on Heart of the Country. Mary Beth, I moved you back to Mount Washington where you belong. I had you in Mount Lebanon, I think. Thank you for being with us today. Gerald in Indiana has been giving a lot. With all my heart, Heartbreak Hotel. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Chaplain Steve As, follow your heart from the depths of my heart. Alan also has follow your heart. Alan is in Squirrel Hill. Not to be confused with Aline in Maine. Young at heart, heartfelt thanks, heart of stone, heart to heart, and heart of gold. We got those all taken care of. Are there any we've missed? 412-200-5975. To put my heart into it. Warms the cockles of one's heart. Hard-hearted. Oh, with a heavy heart. Oh, and a person after my own heart would be another one. This is one I don't know. My heart is knocking if you're excited or easily excited. I haven't heard that one. Well, here's a bunch more. Home is where the heart is. Mike just gave me a clue for. Home is where the heart is. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. From Gerald in Indiana. And what a lot of great answers we had for our heart idioms. Jim in Crafton Heights says, don't forget the Midwest is sometimes called the Heartland. Indeed it is. That's a good addition as well. Thank God I'm up to date. We have a Black History Month feature coming up that we'll share with you, featuring the great Roger Humphreys. And then we have two Youth Expression Showcase features, one from the Center for Young Musicians and one featuring poetry from Girls Write Pittsburgh. And in our 11 o'clock hour today, Apple Asia will be here, combining influences of Appalachian and Asian music traditions with original composition and inspired improvisation. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47 Pittsburgh, WMCK.FM, McKeesport, Radio Phoenix.org, loudspeaker.fm, Fort Collins, Colorado. Tune in, Simple Radio Stream, Radio Garden, and other services where you can listen to radio on your audio device of choice, including slbradio.org/radio.
My name is Kevin Mahdi, and I'm 13 years old.
And I'm Lucas Sandals, and I'm 15 years old.
We interviewed Roger Humphreys on February 4th, 2010.
I was born 1944. I went to school at Mary Jane Colley School. Then after Mary Jane Colley School, I went to Latimer Junior High School. And after Latimer, I went to Allegheny, which is no more a high school. I live on the same street that I was born and raised on, 225 East Jefferson Street. My street still almost have the same character that it had. It just had more houses that are torn down, that's all. I was like 4 and a half, and one day they took me down to Mary Jane College School, and the orchestra lady heard me play, Miss Skodak. She heard me play, and she said, wow, we want him to join the kids' orchestra. So my brothers would take me down there once a week, walk me to school before I even started school to play with the kids, you know, the little orchestra there. I do remember my mother taking me on the streetcar with a little shopping bag, my snare drum in it, and a pair of sticks because I was getting older, like 5 years old, you know. And then after that, I was starting to play with older musicians. But when they told me about my past, they said I used to beat on the stove door all the time. I beat on everything, you know. And my mother was a very patient lady. She took me to the different ladies' lunches, and we go to different churches. And sometimes I don't even remember what I was even playing. It must have been maybe somebody playing a piano, but I would do a lot of their little lunches because I was never discouraged when I was coming up. Matter of fact, there was friends of the family, and used to ask my mother a lot of time, why don't this boy get a job? I mean, why don't he get something, you know, like tangible? Why he want to play the drums? Well, as I think to myself now, I was meant to play the drums. And it wasn't about how much money you can make. That comes later on in your life. You have to have a passion and become good at it. And you don't think about money. Money comes later because you become good. I graduated in 1962. Then 64, I got the job with Horace Silver, you know, and made a famous record. Then after Horace Silver, I landed a job with Ray Charles is in town. They needed a drummer. And I made an audition with Ray Charles. And 2 weeks later, he called me and I flew to Chicago and joined Ray Charles and his band. And then it's go on and on. Richard Groves Holmes played with Lionel Hampton. It's funny. You don't get the shocking thing until after you record with him. And I look back on it now, recording with Horace Silver and traveling all over the world with Ray Charles was fantastic. And it's something that you don't think about it because it's second nature for me. And being a musician and living in the United States, when you go to Europe, they really make you feel like you're precious because of the fact, the art that we have created here in America, you know, and it really make you feel good when people come up and ask for your autograph and you playing in London, England, and you're playing in France, and you're playing in Sweden, Australia. I mean, every place that I've been has been wonderful, and the people accept you and treat you real good. When you're young, you love to play at Carnegie Hall, and I played at Carnegie Hall 3 times. And also, they called the Newport Jazz Festival. I played there the first time with Horace Silver. Leonard Feathers, a very famous writer, you know, he gave me a nice write-up, and he said, this upcoming drummer, Roger Humphreys from Pittsburgh, it landed me in the Encyclopedia of Jazz in the 60s. Oh, wow. I remember the first day I met Duke Ellington, and he had so much charisma and class about him, man. He had his overcoat pulled over his shoulder, hair slicked back, and looking real sharp with his necktie on. And I just kept staring at him. And then after we got off the elevator, he walked to the door, had like a chauffeur waiting for him. You know, that's like being in Hollywood. But we had to have a chauffeur to pick us up, but I wasn't no Duke Ellington, though. The first song I ever recorded was with Stanley Turrentine and his brother, Tommy Turrentine. That was at Blue Note Record Company. And Herbie Hancock was on this. Butch Warren was on the bass. It was a quintet, but it was never released because there was some conflict. That could be one regret, that we never finished that album, that I could have that with Stanley Turrentine and Herbie Hancock, you know. If I had a chance to live all over again one moment in my life, I think it would be on the Riviera. I had so much fun on the Riviera, Jean Lepe and Nice, you know, Monte Carlo. I mean, that was very exciting. If I had a chance to relive that again with my mind that I have now, that would be exciting. But I was so young and it went by so fast, like having a dream in life. But I would love to do that again, you know, where you go on the beach at that time. So all the pretty girls, you see all the rich people. It's kind of like a fantasy, you know. And you wake back up, though, when you leave the Riviera and come back to the States. I remember Ella Fitzgerald was on the same concert that we were on. And we were all on a plane with Miles Davis and different people. And then once we got to France, they took off and went to Italy. You know, the different bands split up. Georgia Benson was there, you know. It's so many memories, man, to think about all these great people. But it's like common for me because they're in the same field that I'm in. And it's what you call like a brotherhood, you know. People would invite you to a party, and you'd be hanging out until 4 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes you didn't get home until 5 o'clock in the morning. You may regret it if you have to leave the next day at 9 o'clock. But, you know, when you're young, man, you have a lot of fun. You meet a lot of great people. And when you're young, you don't think about sleeping anyway. You'd be saying to yourself, sleep is made for the dead. That's because you're young, and you know what I mean, and you're crazy. But I miss my family a lot, and one day I made up my mind. I said, well, I think I'm going to go home and raise my family, be with my family because I miss them, and also continue to be the musician who I am. It was like having my cake and eat it, too, because sometimes when you make decisions like that, things become slow when you go home because you're living in a vast world where you're busy all the time. You're in New York City, then you go to California, and you go all over the place, and I missed that a whole lot. But I didn't miss that as much as I would have missed, you know, raising my family. Many of the clubs are not there anymore. But we had so many clubs, and you could always go from one club to another club. To me, it was a very educated, informative, because you could go all these different places and learn from other great musicians, just sitting there watching them. You know, after the riots and everything, it was much different because they burned up a lot of places on the hill, so you didn't have them anymore, you know. But growing up in these places like the Liberty Lounge, the north side was full of places. Liberty Lounge, where's Martin Luther King School? That was the street that ran all the way through, and that's where the Liberty Lounge was. Yeah, right off Federal Street. Yeah, right off Federal Street. The Hi-Hat Club on Pennsylvania Avenue. You had Chappies down on Pennsylvania Avenue. There was a lot of places, man, that you could go. In the time when I grew up, we didn't have the disrespect, and I think part of the reason why, because you had more families. But the way we are growing up now, a lot of the kids have single parents at home, and most of the single parents are the mothers. So you don't have, you know, a lot of time dads there to discipline or, you know, what I think about many times is like kids raising kids. So therefore, you have no foundation. And it's sad because we didn't have gunshots like that going around, you know, when you was a kid. One thing I wish for is the things to get more stabilized and we get more jobs and everything to get the family more together. So the young ones, like my boys here, man, so they have a good chance. Don't have to worry about selling drugs or so they don't have to be in any danger. That's a drag to be a young man, have to think about the danger, you know, somebody pulling out a gun and shooting like they do now. Tell you what, whatever career you're going to pick, you're going to have a lot of discipline and work hard at it because it's not easy. You know, you don't give up on things. A lot of times you may not make money. You see yourself run into a dark tunnel. You may think this is the end of what's happening. Perseverance, man, is the greatest thing, you know, that you can do and have the discipline because it's going to be hard. Nothing is easy. Every once in a while somebody may, you think that they lucked up on it, but you don't know how much hard work, how many hours that they spent doing, you know, what they're good at, what made them successful.
Roger Humphreys as captured by SLB trained teens. You can hear that feature again as well as many more from the series by going to crossingfences.org.
that's why my heart is red.
By Langston Hughes, Heart of Gold, Leila McCalla, the album Very Colored Songs, V-A-R-I hyphen colored songs. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. Thank you for doing that. Coming up, the Center for Young Musicians has a quartet of violinists that are going to do, actually a trio, that, or did I correct myself? It is a quartet that will begin with some Vivaldi and play some additional music. They're from our March 4th, 2017 program in our next half hour. Girls Write Pittsburgh students will share poetry, also from a 2017 segment. Apple Asia here with us in our final hour today. I did want to give you a sense of some things coming up in the weeks ahead while we have a moment together in terms of guests and performers. Next week, Adam Fitz will perform live at 11 o'clock, a soulful singer-songwriter. He'll join us. Coming up on the 26th, we plan to have Duck, a singer-songwriter based in Brooklyn, New York, on March 5th. Chuck Osten will be here with us. He is a cigar box instrument player. He'll present folk blues. He's also a Rockabilly Hall of Famer. And then coming up on March 12th, we have the Pittsburgh Savoyards with Pirates of Penzance segments live on the radio, and more and more and more to come in the weeks ahead. We appreciate being able to present a wide range of music to you live and conversation as well. If you're ever interested in appearing, or if you have anybody to recommend, you can get a hold of Alexis Thompson at alexis@slbradio.org. Now let's go to the Center for Young Musicians. We'll have live youth on the radio soon. We've been, because of our construction, which is nearly complete, we've been wanting to be careful about that, but very soon will be done. This is a violin quartet. You'll hear the students mention their names throughout the performance. I do want to call attention, though, to the fact that in this quartet, we have a 9-year-old, two 12-year-olds, and a 13-year-old, and they play magnificently, and they all, at the time, were receiving instruction from the Center for Young Musicians. Was very well done. That's an interesting piece. It combines some pizzicata playing, the plucking of the strings, and some great technique. Rochelle Agnew is their instructor. And is there anything you'd like to tell us about these four before we meet two of them?
Yes, these four ladies have been playing together all year, been working on different combos, some violin trios, some quartets, and they practice every week together. So we're just really excited for the work that they've been doing this year.
Well, terrific. Let's start with Josephine, and we'll get a chance I think we'll meet Josephine and also Ava. And then we'll meet the other two after the next song. Josephine, tell me about yourself. How old are you and where do you go to school?
So I'm 13 and I go to Pittsburgh Kappa 6 through 12 for literary arts.
And you're in seventh grade, I'm guessing?
Yes.
So is this your second year at Kappa?
Yes.
And we may have talked about this before, but some folks don't know Kappa that well. This is the Creative and Performing Arts, CAPA, High School of Pittsburgh. And students there are in grades 6 through 12. What has Kappa given you a chance to do that other high schools might not have?
Well, a lot more writing and probably like more concentrated instruction on the different techniques.
Excellent. And are you also playing in an orchestra at Kappa?
No, if you're not an instrumental, you don't have that opportunity.
Okay, because there are some students who are majoring in music. Your major is writing. What got you interested in wanting to pursue writing?
I don't know.
It's just, have you always liked to?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. Would you like to give a shout out to anybody or say hello to anyone?
So my dad and my grandfather and my grandmother.
Excellent.
In Missouri. Not in there.
She's in Missouri.
Yes.
Hopefully she's listening online. And that's nice to meet you. Josephine's been here before. And Ava, we'll say hello to her once again. How old are you and where do you go to school?
I'm 12 and I go to Marshall Middle School.
And you're in sixth grade.
Yes.
So this is your first middle school year. How's it mm-hmm. been so far?
It's been really good. I actually really like it.
Excellent. Anybody you would like to say hello to?
My pappy and my sister, if they're listening, and my dad, he's out there.
Excellent. Now, we were talking to Josephine, who likes to write. Do you have a passion for anything or something you enjoy doing?
I like to watch movies and read.
What have you read lately that you liked?
Harry Potter.
Do you know I haven't read any Harry Potter? Am I missing? I'm probably, yeah.
Yeah,
you're Josephine
missing out.
Just looked at me. What? I need to. I just haven't. I will. What? You've never read Harry Potter? I was just thinking about that the other day, actually. That's a gap that I better fulfill. Well, I'm glad to have you here. And you can just pass that microphone back to Rochelle. Now, this next song is an arrangement from somebody on the Center for Young Musicians staff. I think you will be able to detect what the song uses as the basis for the arrangement. We'll see as we once again present Rachel, Josephine, Alexa, and Ava from the Center for Young Musicians. Wasn't that a lot of fun from the Center for Young Musicians? So you could either call that Variations on Twinkle or Variations on the ABC song, right? Because they're the same melody. Who wrote that?
Yes, so that was by Christopher Sforza, who is one of our violin faculty, and we're so excited to have his compositional talents on our faculty as well.
Yeah, it's fun to hear that in a minor key and with the different parts everybody gets to play. Let's meet Rachel now, who is here for the first time. Welcome, Rachel. And you go to school where?
I go to Quaker Valley Middle School.
And what grade are you in?
Seventh grade.
Anybody you would like to say hello to or acknowledge?
I would like to say hello to my grandpa, my dad, and my school orchestra director, Mrs. Nye.
Excellent. Now, you probably have some things you're passionate about, too. We talked about writing and reading. How about you?
I also enjoy writing a lot.
And are there particular forms you especially like to write? Fiction, nonfiction, poetry?
I like fantasy a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
How come?
It's just fun to, like, be able to write about things that might not happen, but you wish they could, kind of, like, things that in reality really are impossible, but in your own little world they are.
Now, have you ever heard of the book 1984?
No, I haven't.
Now, 1984, have any of you heard of it? It often gets read in high school or later in middle school, but it is very much a science fiction or fantasy book. And I see Rochelle nodding her head. She knows that book quite well. And it's a book about a future world. It's hard to explain, but you might enjoy that book sometime. Well, it's very nice to meet you.
Nice and, to meet you, too.
I hope you'll keep up writing. And then finally, speaking of Alexa, I didn't even think. Are a lot of people talking about Alexa with you yet?
Yeah, a couple kids in my class asked me, their parents asked me, what if you got that Alexa thing?
It never occurred to me until just now that, you know, you and Alexa could talk to each other, but you would be, I would much rather talk to you than Alexa. How old are you and where do you go to school?
I'm 9 and I go to Mary Queen of Apostles in New Kensington.
Well, it's very nice to meet you. What do you like to do in addition to playing the violin?
I love to read, and I'm on a swim team, and I really enjoy swimming there.
That's great. What's your favorite stroke or best stroke?
That's tough. I like to swim the IM, individual medley.
Thank you. I was wondering what that. So that's like crawl, breaststroke?
It's one length of each stroke.
And then backstroke, mm-hmm. and then side?
What's it's butterfly, backstroke, breaststroke, and freestyle.
Okay, I should. And freestyle is like crawl, right?
Or sort of.
I'm behind on my swimming lingo. How are you at diving?
I'm pretty good. My dive needs a lot of improvements, but
that was my biggest problem in swimming. I was never good at diving. Anybody you want to say hello to?
I'd like to say hello to my grandma and my bucca and. My friends from Slim Team.
Wonderful. Well, thanks, Alexa. And there's one more song. Before we play that, I'll just ask Rochelle. You've got quite a few violinists, I'm sure, in addition to these four. This song, I know you'll know, it's a perfect time to play it at the beginning of March, along with our thanks for your being here. Here again are Rachel, Josephine, Alexa, and Ava.
Thank you.
There you have it, the Center for Young Musicians for March 4th, 2017. And a great performance by them. Coming up, original poetry from three girls from Girls Write Pittsburgh, plus live in our studios, Apple Asia, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Chad Green and Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
I learned to turn the honey upside down. Things that sweet, they take more time, and I can't have this now. So walk away from it, tell myself that it wouldn't have been ready anyhow. Things that sweet, they take more time to work out.
Old Whitetail from her forthcoming release, self-titled, the song Honey Upside Down. And that releases this coming Wednesday. And opening for her will be the group Apple Asia, who joins us just after 11 o'clock on today's Saturday Light Brigade.
Headliner joins you in supporting SLB Radio and Youth Express. Headliner is a cloud-based software that media makers can use to add video to podcasts, music, and other audio projects, making it easier to share their creations via social media, YouTube, and websites. Headliner also offers a photo and video library, text captioning, and simplified audio-video editing. Additional information is available at headliner.app.
Quick note, Jim in Blackridge mentioned that he had a chance to go to a concert to benefit the Freedom Riders right around the time a song for my father was recorded. He was a senior in a high school just 2 years younger than Roger Humphreys, who we were talking about earlier. The benefit concert was emceed by none other than Reg Kordick, and it was held at the top of the William Penn Hotel. And a decktet played with local sax player Ray DeFade, and Jim's high school band director was the trombone player in that particular ensemble. And the Dave Brubeck Quartet played as well, and Jim was right there at that time. He comments about how great Joe Morello was, saying he wasn't a drummer, he was more like a percussion surgeon. I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to be there. Me too. I'm thankful for your email describing it. Thanks, Jim. Now to Girls Right Pittsburgh. You'll hear them from their visit to us back on June 24th, 2017. Our Youth Express segment continues, and we have three students, all teens, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves, and I may ask a question or two, but we'll get started first with Maddie. Good morning.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
And tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I grew up in California, but I moved here about 5 years ago, and it's really awesome to be here with Girls Right because they've given me kind of an outlet to just write, and it's pretty valuable, and I'm very thankful for it.
How old are you?
I'm 14 years old.
So moving from California at the age of nine, that has to be a challenge, I would think.
It was. I think the most challenging thing about it is that we drove cross-country in a van through the South in late summer, so that was pretty challenging.
I'll bet. Mm-hmm. I'll bet. And now where do you go to school?
I'm going to Upper St. Clair High School in the fall.
Excellent. Yeah, I think before I had information on where you just finished and you're transitioning into high school coming up. Any hellos or shout-outs or acknowledgments you'd like to mention?
All right. Hi, Mom and Dad. Hi, Kathy and Colin and Sarah.
Those are all good hellos to say hello to. Who are Colin and Sarah and Kathy?
Kathy's a friend from school, and Colin and Sarah are good friends of mine from theater.
Wonderful. Well, I'm glad they're listening. If they're not listening at the very moment this is happening, they'll certainly hear it on demand when it's available later. Now we have Nora. Hello.
Hi, Nora. I'm Nora.
Hi. Tell me a bit about yourself, please.
I'm a poet, and I write, and mostly it's because of Girls Write. Thank you, Vivian and Andrea, for giving me that outlet, just like Maddie said. And it's very comfortable when I'm writing at Girls Write because it's like expressing my poetry, and it's very great and empowering, and that's what they think too. So, yeah.
And are you from Pittsburgh originally?
Yeah, I was born in Pittsburgh, but my parents were born in Africa and Syria. So.
And where do you go to school?
I'm now going to go to Alderdice High School.
Okay, so you're also we have another student on her way to Alderdice as
yes.
Well. Did I ask you about hellos? Any shout-outs or anything?
Sure. Shout out to Louise, another girl from Girls Right.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Vivian and Andrea and Maddie and Emma.
And now let's meet, in fact, let's meet Emma. She's right here. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Tell me about yourself, please.
I like to write, but that's kind of obvious.
will you be going to school this fall?
I'll be going to Alderdice as well.
And are you originally from the Pittsburgh area?
Yeah, I'm from Pittsburgh.
Where did you go prior to Alderdice? Where did you just finish?
Falk.
Oh, that's a great school up on the hill by Pitt, right?
Yeah.
I've been in the Falk Laboratory School a few times. So before we hear from some of your writing, I would love your reflection on girls, right? If you could just tell me and folks listening what the organization's about and what do you do. I'm just going to kind of turn it over to you, if I may. Can you discuss a little bit? Folks might be wondering, girls, right? What's this all about, and why would such an organization even be needed?
So I'm Nora again.
And thank you for the reminder, Nora.
Thank you, Maddie. So Girls Write is pretty much awesome. It's like an outlet for girls, teen girls in Pittsburgh to technically just express themselves through words, poetry, fiction, stories, and it's quite amazing because everything literally changes when we're in that room, either at Brooklyn Teen Outreach or Assemble, and they really help us. They really, they enrich our minds, too, and they give us empowerment to keep writing, even though when we're having, writer's block and struggles throughout the whole year, and it's been great staying with them, too.
How do the mentors at Girls Write differ from teachers that you would have in school?
I think they differ from the teachers at school because they're allowed to give us a lot more attention in a way, like more in-depth analysis of what makes our writing good and what we could improve on, whereas teachers' priority is just giving us a letter grade.
Yes. Where intelligence only doesn't matter on where or what grade it is. It's more than that for them.
Also, in school, it's a lot more of a formal setting where it's I must divide my attention amongst the people, and I cannot show a bias. I cannot, express that, oh, that's really awesome, but I have to share with everybody the everybody thing. I don't know what I'm saying.
No, that makes sense.
That's how writing works. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're saying.
Well, it sounds like teachers can maybe let their guard down a little bit and even share more, mentors, I'm sorry, can share more of themselves.
Yes, totally.
And
mm-hmm.
I would imagine that must be true for you all.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long have you been involved and how many other girls are involved?
Well, I'm the newest at the Brookline location. There's five girls there, including some of the mentors. And I don't know much about the other location. I think that's where you go.
Yeah, that is where I go. I don't know how many people are there, but there's probably around five.
Yeah. So it's relatively small, and it sounds like there's room for
more
additional girls, too. And we'll talk about that towards the end of this segment.
Well, join us.
Yeah. You all seem like a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And
quite weird.
Before you share your writing, I'm curious, and I have some ideas about this, but why a gender specific program? Do you think it is good for privacy, or do you have some thoughts about that?
Totally great for privacy because there's probably a lot of people that might judge. Maybe they're going to say we're feminists, but we're feminists, but we're probably, and we're still, it's more, it's not it's bad, but it's also it's contained in a girl power space. So we can just empower ourselves as women as we're growing up too.
Yeah, when we do workshops and audio production, mm-hmm. often in middle school and sometimes in high school, but there's a different dynamic if it is a group of just girls or just boys or mixed. And depending on what we're doing, we pretty much feel we get more authenticity when groups are not mixed. That's not a generalization. It is a generalization. Yeah. but we notice that a lot, and I can't quite explain why. Maybe y'all are more supportive when you're in that kind of environment. Yeah. I don't know if you have any thoughts about that.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
Yeah. I feel very supported by, like, women because obviously I'm going to be a woman when I grow up. And they just, like, give us advice, too, on that, too. They give us insight and input on, like, actually growing up and transitioning from that stage.
And we have two mentors who are here today who we will talk to after we have the girl share some writing. So who would like to go first?
I can go first.
Okay, so Emma mentioned earlier that she's a poet.
Yeah.
And do you have one poem to share or several?
I have several, yeah.
Okay, well, why don't you share two or three, however many you'd like. Mm-hmm. Two, it sounds. It's especially important when we introduce your writing, though, this is Nora.
Yeah, it is. Okay. This is called Rooms, and it's writing it as a sequel to many poems that's going to be technically focusing on this girl that's in this asylum or psych ward. I'm still trying to develop it, but this is the poem that I finished, and I wrote this a while ago and also said this at Girls' Right. Lights on. A porcelain white cloaks my walls, and it seems to conjure up the purity of life. There's nothing in the room so far. A tan four-legged table for sure to keep things standing, and a black vase that seems to keep a yellow chrysanthemum prisoner. Is it a source of disturbance? Prediction, maybe? They think I'm going insane. Little do they know that there's still a flame of sanity burning brightly before I do. No one knows for sure what they see in me. They think they can beseech a diagnosis out of me, and it makes me sick. Afterward, a sudden wave of lives follow. My heart remains to be made of glowing gold for some reason. It can be pounded with a tool out of hate and desire to shape any ugly thing until all that remains is something small or unrecognizable. They've trapped me in here with influences of joy and hope so I could ignore the discontent that resides in my mind. But they don't want to realize the truth. So shield me from the coats of lies like the polish on the floors. Brace yourself from a dire stigma that takes form of a girl. Because the truth is, I'm an experiment, gone wrong, of course, but you already knew what happens to experience, right? They need to be eliminated, but not yet. I had to be scrubbed away of any hope, drain me of a brisk, healthy, take charge of this ball of fire, transform me into a new and refreshing blur of wicked, take away any remaining reassurance, bleed me dry from any humanity that's itching to stay. Obliterate me from the care in my salty tears. Fulfill me with chagrin. Trap me in a room with a midnight black vase and a bright yellow flower, and let me fathom a beautiful sight of death and silence. The vase is the gun, the flower a bullet that I couldn't dodge. It pierced my heart, tainted my life. They placed me in another room before this, everything opposite of the one after it. It was a jet black that covered the walls, and only a white vase, but no flower instead, just the petals that are too faded to tell what color resided before it, crinkled and dwindled of life, like I thought was going to be me in the future. It's fortunate that flowers die faster than humans. I was kept in that room. Only the obsidian walls were dead on when it came to allying my tarnished heart. Black traced it like a border, not fully interfering yet. Lights off. There wasn't a sudden stop of footsteps that was supposed to be my rescue under the door. I'm lost in limbo. It became too much for me to handle. Finally, the depravity that has waited so long took control of my heart. No border to separate the good and bad. I should have known that it was sullied at the beginning, that it was a cancer that I was too blind to see. Lights on. It annihilated me, but it was relieving me of my sorrows. No more tears, wide eyes of curiosity as I stare at an art of obscurity, metamorphose me from a girl to a doormat, stain me with mud after a hard day at work, control me until I'm someone else's burden. Are you tired of me yet? Erase any empathy you have for me. Block out any noises you hear. Look me in the eye and tell me when they're going to waste my last moments with words, or don't. Surprise me with a spur of the moment. Make me mortified with my mistakes. I get off on it. The darkness. Know who I am, comprehend that I'm not like the others who failed as well. Trounce me by making me look at an image of beautiful death. Attempt to subdue me. Create an endeavor to evoke any bad emotion from me. Don't let me stay in this ill-starred life. Let me shiver of my shame as I wander of my own freedom. Make me stare at a lovely death in the eye. Plague my head with pretty thoughts. My body is weak. I feel faint. Let me flash a fake smile and ponder about what comes next after this. Fade away from the world slowly with an audience on the edge of their seats. As I whisper goodbye, my eyes still blinking and reopening slowly. I'm full of pixels. The flower is still there but being blocked out. I'm disintegrating from the world hastily. Breath by breath, I fell to the ground. A loud landing followed. I'm sorry I couldn't do it. I loved being a subject of evil too much. The flame was blown out in a rush. So I guess, lights off. Thank you.
Wow. That was pretty amazing. And you mentioned this will be part of a series.
Yes.
Tell me more about, if you wish, what you're hoping that will be.
So, like, this is, like I said before, it's going to be a girl in an asylum that's, like, it's going to probably be divided into before, during, and after the stay. So if there is probably an after, if she doesn't survive there that long, I don't know. You'll have to read to find out. Yeah.
So it'll be a collection of poems.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Thank you.
Really well written.
Thank you.
Who would like to go next? I see Maddie raising her hand. And, what do you have to share?
Well, I have one poem, and the meaning behind it is I wanted to write a fantasy poem, so I did. and it's way too long, and I apologize in advance.
That's okay. What's the name of what you're going to share?
The Shapeshifter.
The Shapeshifter, clearly fantasy. My dad always loved to talk about shapeshifters, so I can't wait to hear this.
Thank you. Do you ever want for an adventure, an entertaining, brand new venture? Something to spook you, please you, brighten up your pale pallor. Well, there is a tale that, on a night much like this, with the moon but half full, and fireflies flitting round the rustling grasses, flickering round the barren passage on whence you came, with a breeze swaying the leaves slightly, ever so slightly, with nothing else upon the moor, you'll find the shapeshifter lurking, just beyond the land you knew before. If you should trespass upon the fen as the wind whispers, bickers against the other drafts, if you keep your feet upon the path and do not waver, and if your feet stay steadfast in their way, just as your skirt begins to fray, you'll find a hill. Yes, a small hill, inset with a smaller door. You'll find it just where the wooded coppice merges with the moor. The shapeshifter, hiding in his paneled den, waiting with bated breath to give a tour. Approach slowly, knock not once, not thrice, just twice. Two quick raps upon the hawthorn egress. Brush off your hem, let your appearance oppress. As the entrance flies open, disavow the fact that there lies no face to greet you. Do not reassess. Enter, curtsy, and gaze around the den of your host. Hostess? As the shapeshifter, hesitant, determines the intruder to its warm address. Look to the walls of the hangings and glasses that shimmer and glint, show off the contents of oil and wine, iodine, plenty other elixirs, liquids from far-off lands, and many homemade. Bubbling violent violet blue of alky ale and aid, potions and poultices, jars filled with bizarre quarry, which, if you don't look away, you could swear shifted ever so slightly in its jar. But mayhap it's just a trick on your sight, as the basins shine in the dancing candlelight that drips from a wick, drowning in wax by the door, that you'll grab, staring round. There has to be more than the sad little ember, and then you may hear a crunch, a crackle, a new log on the fire. Then turn and you'll find all the thrills you desire to find in a chair, an armchair, plump and bursting with stuffing and coated roughly with calico, a knit quilt and something, as a shadow, a darkness that turns to your face. And I don't quite remember what it looked like, but I'm sure it'll change for you. As the shapeshifter, smiling, takes a shape that's anything but true. It's a living umbra with a stance that's relaxed and still eager, leaning forward with auroral eyes that analyze their new audience. You may be shaking, and that's quite all right. Why, I was too when it was my night. It will gaze in your face and cock its head slightly, and then you just have to stand there and let it not frighten your cord. It won't touch you. It won't hurt you. The lair where it dwells is safe, and so is it. Just has to remember a new story to tell and the right face to show, the perfect one to cast its spell. As it reads you, a new tale, a rough, crowded slate, that it'll wipe clean as it elects its perfect candidate, its prime selection to truly greet you. As the shapeshifter, stirring, turns to its grate for a new form to project.
The strange beast's hearth begins to pour, issuing spewing opaque curls of smoke. Your own candle will even add a swirl that whirls around the floor, almost liquid, rooting you to the spot, concrete solid. And the gas converges on the shapeshifter's form, with the silvery wind losing all of its warmth, as the fog waxes to its bones, flesh, skin, cloth, and slides from fair to dark, fine to goth, hairs that unfurl and braid straights and plaits, and the lights that were eyes go from blue down to brown, as its mouth always forms as a smirk, ne'er a frown. Is it a man? Woman? Neither? Who knows? Always changes. You'll find the answer when its feet thud towards yours, and you'll see a midlife man with his hair and eyes grayed, or a child as yourself, whose stance is still staid, or a venerable maid, face lined with old laughs, or even a girl with a mop and tongue bold as brass. But they'll smile, take your hand, have you sit by the fire, and resume their own previous position, in the comfiest armchair, with fire bouncing off of kind eyes. They'll clear their throat, not once, not thrice, twice, and pose a simple inquisition. It's just the shapeshifter, gazing, asking if you'd like a story from the lexical magician. Here's what you'll do. Nod, cross your legs, cup your face in both hands, because when they open their mouth, the words start to dance into far-off lands, objects, people you never knew and people who will never know you, that seem realer than me as I look at you now, as the shapeshifter spins this new tale for your eyes of action, adventure, horror, delights, Arabian princes on Arabian nights, a tale of a monster that lurks in the snow, or a beautiful selkie living 12 yards below, story for laughter, stories for tears, drama's revolution that to write would take years. A deep, thrilling history, a touching romance. It all shimmers before you as the hours trickle away. You'll hang on to their words, grasp onto the trance, even as the shapeshifter slows and the denouement closes, as it slips away like silk bolt from your hands. But that's quite all right, the shapeshifter says with a smile. Sometimes the best things are over too soon. So they'll take you to the door, taking you by the hand, and lead your way out of this new wonderland. But you'll leave nonetheless as you look to the moon, glance back at the creature, claim you'll be back soon. Then step out the door, turn your back. There's nothing more to be said. Then stand perfectly still. Hear a slight quake, a minute quake that lies just in your state. Turn around. Let the night wind cast a chill as the shapeshifter, dormant, lets his dozy, cozy den once more become a hell. So, if you ever want for an adventure, an entertaining, brand new venture, as a half moon shines above you and fireflies flit besides, and there's nothing else but rustling grass upon the moor. If you wish to take a passage down to where the coppice blends with fen's barren floor, you may find a hill. Yes, a small hill, inset with a smaller door. There's a shapeshifter awaiting with a brand new form and tail forevermore.
Beautifully done. That you really delivered that dramatically, and it was really fun.
What?
Are you an actor? Do you?
I am. I do quite a bit of theater.
It shows, and, in a good way. You Yay. Sound great. So that was Maddie, and now we have Emma with something that she brought. What did you bring?
I brought two poems that I wrote. I think. I'm gonna read the untitled one first.
Okay.
It's a angry poem, which is one that I wrote when I was angry. So, yeah.
Let's know. As long as you didn't write it within the last half hour, I feel okay.
Yeah. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back, but you can't reach the halo, in which there are voices in my head, and mine has ceased to be the loudest. You're either a coward or a fool, and people say that they miss you. There was never any love, because now you don't get hugs or talks. Dragon, a prime example of how to get slapped in the face, when you feel your body moving, but you're not guilty of being in control. You reach your halo or your horns at the funeral nobody attended.
Hmm. How long ago did you write that?
A few weeks.
It's beautiful. And what's the other that you brought?
The other one is called The Paths of a Summer Night, and I wrote it when I was in seventh grade. So can't say if it's still good, but yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. there are many people, many footprints. The footsteps by the riverbank that belonged to someone many years ago, a child who can't claim them anymore. A person who can't claim them anymore, like a child who hears the wind and embarks on a quest to catch it. This is where my footprints come from. My footprints, the footprints of someone with dreams and visions. My feet lead me to my now, an old comfy couch that has seen all. Richard's music in my ears, a cherry on top of old summer nights, where feet would wander next door until others came out to play. Getting lost with only delicate piano music that flowed out an open window, matched by rough shots from our water guns. That's where my footprints come from.
Well done. Thank you to all three of you. What a terrific segment that was. I'd like you to come back
sometime.
Love to. Maybe later in the summer or early in the school year. You just heard from Emma, and before Emma, you heard Maddie, and before Maddie, you heard Nora. And let me quickly turn to Vivian and Andrea just to ask you, how can girls get involved with this wonderful program?
Hi, it's Vivian. girls can, or their parents or caregivers, can check out girlswritepittsburgh.com and fill out an application. You can come to Brookline on Wednesdays at 6, or you can come to Garfield on Tuesdays at 7. We meet each week for a workshop for an hour.
Mm-hmm. Sounds very easy and something that you've got the capacity to take some more girls. Or what's the age range?
13 to 18.
Easy to qualify. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you to the folks from Girls Write Pittsburgh. And let me caution you that information you heard at the end, that was a pre-recorded feature rebroadcast from July 29th, 2017. And while girls – or I'm sorry, let me give you the exact date, June 24th, 2017. And while Girls Write Pittsburgh is still active check with them rather than relying on those hours. A lot's changed, hasn't it, between June 24th, 2017 and now. One thing hasn't changed. We're broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, where Apple Asia is waiting in the wings, along with Ricky Berger and Chad Green. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, WMCK.FM McKeesport, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, Loudspeaker.fm, Fort Collins, Colorado, RadioPhoenix.org, and on your audio device of choice through your internet radio service of choice, including slbradio.org/radio.
I never thought that I would ever feel this way. Circles round the day. Each day would seem to hold a promise bathed in light. And when the evening brings its shadows home, you sleep with. I'm looking for a sign, for common ground where we can share the things that fill our time. It's simpler than I thought. Your smile unties the knot. There is no time like now to learn the lesson. I cannot match the pace. I can't remember.